Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to our second session in Transforming Emotions into Energy. Today is Anger Day, and transforming anger into its natural, healthy role, and according to traditional Chinese medicine, of movement and momentum. Now, there's a reason that we start with fear. There's often a little bit of fear going into these things, and it's an opening of sorts. And there's a reason we follow that up with anger. A lot of people confuse fear and anger. They mix them up. They often think they're feeling one thing when it's actually the other thing. So, in today's session, we're going to be exploring some information from, again, that Chinese medicine perspective around anger. And I know I'm seeing people trickle in. So, just before we do that, as I often do in our weekly calls for the Buddhas and Butterflies program that you all have the opportunity to sign up for, it'll open up again this Friday. Opens up once a year. This is the time of year where that happens. And every week, we actually do a different session and we work with either fear, anger, grief, much like we're doing this week. But we space it out and we do it relevant to, well, last year we did it relevant to the senses. Prior to that, the five elements. Prior to that, the seven chakras. Moving forward, in case you're curious about that, will be the eight extra meridians. There's the 12 basic meridians in Chinese medicine. And there's the eight extra that often get a little deeper into our core material. Yeah. So, as we often start off those weekly calls with a little bit of movement when it's anger week, I'm going to invite us to do the same, so you have a little snippet of what we actually do in that program. So today I've got one of my favorite songs to move and groove to. It's by Pink, and it's called "I Am Here." It's from her album "Beautiful Trauma." For those of you who might know it or are new to it, I invite you to check it out. So if you have a little bit of space, I'll invite you to stand up and move and groove. If you don't have so much space or you're not into movement or that's not possible, feel free to hang out with yourself wherever you are, in your chair, or even laying down. Any movement is wonderful there. And I'm going to join you.
Thing is sin, let it all come right in. I wanna make some mistakes, I wanna sleep in the mud, I wanna swim in the flood, I wanna fuck till I'm done. I like whiskey on ice, I like sun in my eyes, I wanna burn it all down, so let's start a fire. I wanna be lost, so lost that I'm found, naked and laughing with my blood on the ground.
Thank you.
for the dance, everyone. And as that was coming on, we had a few new people join. So I'm just going to give them a chance to connect their audio and we'll be underway. And as you settle in this time, I'm going to invite you to find a nice, quiet, cozy place where you can either sit or lay and be undisturbed for your session that we're going to get into after we do just a little bit of talking. Let me scan that audio connection. Yeah, it looks like we're good to go. Yay. All right, y'all. So anger, movement, momentum, as we've discussed and explored experientially. Oh, I already got a compliment. You rock too. Thank you. As we get into our theme, this actually correlates with the wood element. And the wood element is about expansion and movement, expansion. I think it's pretty easy to see the correlation with that part. And the wood element correlates specifically to two meridians, the liver meridian and the gallbladder meridian. Now, the liver, the gallbladder meridian, collectively will be processed through the sense of sights, through our eyes. We've often heard the eyes are the windows to the soul, if you've heard that expression. And in Chinese medicine, there's definitely a correlate to certain elements of the liver meridian in particular. I'm just going to rearrange some papers here. How the liver meridian works with what's referred to as the ethereal soul. And we're not going to geek out too much on that particular aspect of Chinese medicine, but it's a part of it. And I think one of the coolest things about this particular part is, for less in the northern hemisphere, is that this energy actually correlates to spring. It's about coming alive. It's about birth and growth. So as we discovered yesterday, fear was basically taking us contracted and inward to that point where everything gets so small it becomes that little teeny tiny seed that can begin to germinate in a way. That wood element is meant to support the birthing process of that seed that can get planted when we go right into our core and then can branch out literally with that growth. Now the liver and the gallbladder meridian alike work to support that birth growth process through expansion, and they correlate to a few other pieces, including the fluid of tears, which I think is always a really interesting one, and we don't always talk about that one so much. Now, if we look at anger and that experience, have you ever been frustrated to the point of tears, or so frustrated you could feel the tears swelling up? When we cry, sometimes we're releasing sadness, but sometimes we're actually crying to release that pressure cooker of frustration that's built up in our system. So your tears are one way of actually releasing anger. Yeah. And all of us have kind of a favorite emotion of choice, as I like to say. So some of us will often associate our tears with depression or sadness when they're actually frustration. So that's more of an anger piece. Having said that, I often see anger and sadness travel together. The anger piece supporting the movement of the sadness, which can create sort of a heavy weight to it. So just like I see fear and anger get intertwined, often more so mixed up by people mistaking, mislabeling them, we often see this connection with anger and sadness, or anger and grief as well, happens too. So as I talk about these guys, some of the muscles in the body that get governed with the sort of different pieces of liver and gallbladder alike, meridians, are, well, in general, I should back up. This actually correlates to all of our muscles, tendons, and ligaments, but there are some that are more specifically associated with these particular meridians. The anterior deltoid, so that kind of anger that we might have when we want to throw a punch, kind of energy can come from here. And our rhomboids, which is the muscle in between the shoulder blade and the spine in your back body. It's a really common place as well. It's like get all that anger stored in our system. And again, think of the anger that you might use if you were in a fight. And yesterday we explored fight as a form of fear. Again, this is often why people aren't sure if it's fear or anger, because fight energy often carries a little bit of both of those essences in them. The other, I think, big muscle that I want to talk about that goes with this all is the part of our pectoralis muscle, which is a big muscle, that hooks into our sternum. Just beside the sternum region, there is a section of muscle that inserts right into there, and it's that portion. This portion does something different, that's more worry, but this part here works more so with anger. And it's the type of anger that squeezes our chests, squeezes our hearts, when we see people get all red in the face, epileptic of sorts, right before potentially even something serious happens with their heart. That's a sign that that anger is leaning heavily in on the heart, and the heart doesn't do so well with that. So the liver meridian overall helps to support the chest. And sometimes if it's acting up, it can make everything feel really, really tight in there. Anger, although it's moving and interested in movement, if it's feeling trapped because we've identified it as something personal that we're carrying, ends up often creating the sensation before it moves of heaviness or contraction or pressure. Often pressure is the most common experience that I've heard people label it as. Now, what else can I say about that all? Oh, I think that if we talk about the liver meridian governing the chest, it also has a piece that it plays with the throat as well as the genitals. So the genitals, our center of pleasure, are meant to be supported healthily by movement and things moving through them. You know, there's a lot of things that need to move through there for us to enjoy our lives. And that in turn sets the stage for healthy expression, healthy growth, healthy birth. Yeah. The gallbladder meridian more so runs up the side body. And it goes all the way from the bottom of the feet, right by that ankle, there's a big acupuncture point that hangs out there, all the way up through the side body and into the head brain. Yesterday we talked about the head brain as being the flower of the kidney meridian. The gallbladder actually supports that quite heavily. The liver and the gallbladder respectively work with planning and decision making. So both of those meridians play a pretty strong role in the support of our cognition, of our thinking, and of catalyzing our action. The gallbladder in particular is considered to be a bit of a pivot point. So it actually supports new beginnings, new opportunities to start things. So it's said that it takes just a little bit of anger to get a project off the ground, whether that's new life, new birth in form of a baby, or in form of a business, or in form of a project of any sort. Yeah. So these meridians, these liver and the gallbladder meridians, also correlate to the astrological houses that we were talking about yesterday. The gallbladder is a correlate to the 11th house, and the liver is that of the 12th house, which I think we touched it on a little bit yesterday as well, if memory serves. Did a lot of sessions yesterday, so I know I went there a lot yesterday, so I might have been in this as well. The gallbladder on the 11th house side of things works with things like our group awarenesses, our group consciousnesses, how we're relating to systems as a whole could be considered an 11th house thing, I think. And also how we relate to groups of like friends, how we aspire to be in group consciousness can be related to 11th house. The natural planetary energies that hang out here are Saturn, bit of a taskmaster at times, and Uranus, which is kind of the opposite. It's all about vision and originality and spontaneity and creating change in those ways. So those all indirectly correlate to this 11th house energy that the gallbladder meridian is associated with, along with the sign of Aquarius. And Aquarius is known for its unconventionality. Yeah. Often brilliance and genius type of pieces are associated with that too. In contrast, the liver is more 12th house. It's the house of endings, releasing, letting go, allowing, peeling back the layers of who it is, me or not. And this guy works with the planetary energies of Neptune and Jupiter. So Jupiter, and Neptune, they make for an interesting combination here. Jupiter is very much about philosophy, religion, thinking more on that right brain side of things. And Neptune is often about inspiration, also spontaneity. And often when Neptune is involved in unhealthy ways, or if we have an unhealthy relationship to it, it can make us feel like everything's underwater. Like trying to see the bottom of the ocean might be a challenge. If the ocean floor is quite a ways down and we're in the middle of it, we're not going to see it. So that's a little like Neptunian energy. So the 12th house, when it doesn't have well-aspected Neptune energy, can make it seem like it's challenging to let go of things, or like you can't quite see your way through and how to do that all. So that's just a little bit of intel on the liver and the gallbladder meridians. What I'd actually like to do, because yesterday I feel like I talked for a little bit longer, I'd like to spend a little bit more time today in session mode to give you a taste of the experience of these guys more so than anything else. So I'm going to invite you once again to really tuck in and settle in for your session today. And as you take this moment to settle in, making any micro adjustments that you might need to make yourself feel even 1% more comfortable. Perhaps beginning here by means of breathing. Every inhale, an opportunity to call in, to receive, to connect to life. And every exhale, an opportunity to release, let go, surrender, allow. And every breath, an opportunity to sink a little deeper into that cushion below you. And if any part of that feels pleasant, at the very least neutral, taking a moment to soak that in. To savor this, much like you would a fine meal. And then I'm going to invite you to scan your environment either outwardly, externally, or going inward. Either or is great, whatever is most comfortable for you. And as you look around, either externally or internally, looking 3D in all directions. And as you scan, letting your gaze land on anything that you find that's pleasant, or at the very least, neutral. Letting the gaze land on anything that's pleasant, or at the very least, neutral. And wherever it lands, taking a moment to notice what it is you like the most about that thing. Perhaps it's the color, the shape, size. Maybe it's how the light and the shadow play with it. And as you take that in, taking time to savor this for the nourishment that it very well may be. Now, as you drink that in, noticing the impact what is it to pause and savor what's working well, what's pleasant, and if any part of that impact is also pleasant, taking time to savor its nourishment as well. And then from this place, I'll invite you to scan your body one more time. Letting the gaze land perhaps on anything that might feel not quite as supportive. You don't need to spend time there. Just making a note of it. How does this body mind feel in this moment? And as you do that, I'll offer my thanks. Thank you for being here and calling this medicine in. Thank you to all that's brought you here today. Your families, your ancestors, your lineages. And the deepest of thank you to the very lands that's nourished us all and provided for that opportunity to be here in this way, in these ways, together. And the deepest of gratitudes to those that have stewarded our land and caretaken it to support our livelihood, our life, our existence for us all. Oh, thank you. And if anything was in particular calling for attention or awareness that you wish to even type into the chat feature, you're welcome to do so. And as we move into the first part, we're heading into actually the spleen of all things. As the spleen hangs out right around our left side, around that diaphragm, just underneath it. It also is the controller for our lymph. Our lymph system helps to clear out toxins, gunk, waste, low self-esteem, overthinking, overanalyzing alike. And we're actually going to work with the spleen, and it's that role of the lymph controller that we're working with it. And we're going to connect it into both the liver and the gallbladder on the right side. And as we work with these two areas, supporting the capacity for lymphs to flow in the liver and the gallbladder, and we're also working with the consciousness overall, balancing the immune system, in particular the balance of acceptance and rejection. So what is it we're taking in that we might not need to be? And what is it that we're actually rejecting that we might not need to be? Have those wires gotten crossed in any way, shape, or form? And as the lymph runs through here, basically cleaning house for liver and gallbladder, following it with hydration, helping the liver and the gallbladder at the very cellular level to take in water, take in joy, and release any impurities that just don't need to be here. And that's all collectively linking into house number 12, as we mentioned, correlates with the liver meridian. And here, the 12th house also works with letting go, releasing, allowing, making space. And as we work with that, giving space for any unresolved anger, whether that be in the form of frustration, irritation, or chronic long-standing resentments, or rage, fury, to have some space, some allowance to actually be here. This is particularly true of the females. The feminine energy is often one that's disregarded in our society to be acceptable for expression. So we don't always allow ourselves the awareness of it, never mind the capacity to be with it, never mind the capacity to sit with it long enough to let its story be heard, be known, and come to resolution. And the risk often is of being called a certain name that starts with a B and has five letters. I'll let you fill in the blanks. Although now that I'm thinking about it, I don't think I warned you earlier that the song at the beginning had a swear word in it. Odds are high, if you've worked with me before, you know that there's often swear words that escape my lips, so hoping that you don't have any delicate ears with it all. And as we work now with the labels that in particular the feminine energy carries around just simply being allowed to be aware of, never mind express healthily, those emotions of anger, wherever they may be on that spectrum. And we're linking that into house number 8, which we worked with yesterday, house of the kidney meridian. And it helps to work with, as we mentioned, death, rebirth, and then regeneration. So what happens to that story of not being allowed to tap into awareness of our anger, never mind sit with it long enough to have its story be told and resolve in a healthy way? If we can give that the space to die away, to surrender, and come to light in a different way, to be reborn in a way that actually allows for anger to be a source of regeneration. Anger is meant to move things. It literally wouldn't even have your blood vessels have blood moving through them without anger energy. We would get very constipated without things moving through us. It's our anger energy that gives rise to our flow, our circulation through our, not just our blood vessels, but even right down to how lymph is moving, how nerves communicate through those chemicals, neurotransmitters, fancy name, and anything else that's moving and grooving in the body is all thanks to anger. The more energy we have for it to do its healthy role, the less it might get caught up in those stories of where it is we're not supposed to be angry, or where we're not supposed to express anger, or where we're not supposed to even acknowledge it. So as we give it some space to reorganize, we're going to run what's referred to as a defrag. Much like a computer defrag, a spring clean, taking out the clutter that just doesn't need to be here and what remains to be regularly reorganized, utilized for healing. And as it begins to reorganize itself, with the help of that 8th house healthy energy of regeneration, we're linking it right back into house number 12, again, house of endings, releasing, letting go, allowing, supporting that defrag to really be nice and thorough, this spring clean to be reorganized throughout your liver and your gallbladder alike. And then we're heading right into the gallbladder specifically now. And we're working with one of the meridian functionalities that it has around making decisions. And it makes those decisions in support of the liver's plans. However, that can get compromised if there's excessive heat or excessive dampness. Excessive dampness, you might want to think of as like a farmer's field that was flooded and is standing in water for maybe even like continual rainfall pouring on it for even like another year or two even. And that stagnant earth, as it collects that water and there's excessive dampness, sets the stage for microbial growth, sets the stage for stagnation, lack of movement to happen. So that dampness doesn't allow for movement to occur in the way that the gallbladder would like. Excessive heat is the same thing. And if heat or dampness that act like this big, soggy, heavy blanket on the gallbladder is present, again, it doesn't allow for that movement to roll on through. Some things that can go with that might even be those feelings of just having excess water in us or having excess heat in us or in our muscles. It can also show up in our digestion. It might be really challenging to taste our food, to digest our food really well. We might be prone to things like irritability, depression, and we might actually crave things that we can't actually even digest all that well, in particular fatty foods or greasy foods in particular. There can also be this interesting symptom of feeling really thirsty, but feeling like you can't drink. And in medical school, we learned that gallbladder issues are really, really common for, in particular, women in their 40s. And it was considered just a no-brainer that if a woman rolled in that had some excessive weight on her, was quite gassy, and that odds are high that she would just need to have her gallbladder taken out and that would solve all the problems. Except from a Chinese medicine perspective, just because you take out the organ, it doesn't actually change up the pattern within the underlying issue that led to the need for the gallbladder to be taken out. So as we address this, we're going to be working on it in a way that works regardless of if you have your gallbladder or if you don't have your gallbladder. And as we work with that, we're going to actually run a C-Dream. It's going to continue for the next 16 hours or so. So that'll happen from whenever you listen to this, for those of us joining the recording. And C-Dream, we talked about it yesterday briefly. I'll go through it again. As it continues to run for the resolution of, again, excessive damp and heatness in the gallbladder meridian, is working with circulation of all the healing resources, including blood that carries our passion, nerve, our communication, lymph that again drains those toxins, gunk, waste, low self-esteem, overthinking, overanalyzing, along with sheer vitality, consciousness or awareness, right down into all the little guys, the electrons, protons, solitons, neutrons, working with the sounds, the colors, the frequencies of all the chakras, major and minor, endorphins, hormones, and endocannabinoids that lower inflammation, anxiety, depression, that help out our nervous and our immune system and really most of our body-mind to heal. Also working with the balance of yin and yang and hydration, helping those cells to again absorb water, joy, and release any impurities. We're going to run another defrag, much like that spring clean, taking out the clutter that just doesn't need to be here. What remains can be readily reorganized and utilized for that healing. Then all of the R's, reevaluation, recontextualization, reprioritization, getting out of rock and hard place type of thinking and opening up to possibilities even when it seems like, you know, there's none there. Then integration, introspection, shift the underlying consciousness. Think of this perhaps as the release, the surrender, the letting go. And as this Sidri runs for most of the day, we're bringing in the natural planetary energy of Uranus, which works again with originality and vision. And it's actually helping you to connect to your original vision of how you get to move forward. The gallbladder is all about new beginnings. As we bring in originality and vision into new beginnings, noticing what that is that you're chewing on. What is it that you're starting? What is it that's beginning in your life? And maybe there's some wiggle room around that vision to come into alignment in a way that works even more authentically for you. And we're linking that all into house number 10, house of career, achievement, recognition, and outward self-expression. Perhaps this is where some of those new beginnings might lie for folks. Perhaps not. See what's true for you on your end. And as we work with this gallbladder meridian, we're also going to work with now its role in decision-making to bring in those choice points that you're making that align with your vision, your sense of authenticity or originality. And as we bring that energy in, right into the gallbladder's role in decision-making, it's linking up to the amygdala complex. So we have two amygdalas, one on each side. It's a part of our limbic or emotional brain. And it makes choices based primarily on fear, anger, rage. So explains a lot of how we see our world around us happening. If those choices are getting made on fear, anger, rage, they might not be considered in healthy long-term consequences. The amygdala doesn't have a long-term view. The amygdala is making that immediate choice point for survival purposes. So it doesn't always consider the bigger picture, so to speak. So as we support decision-making through that gallbladder meridian, It actually will work with the amygdala complex, which is one of the areas of the gallbladder meridian supportively is helping out with, to help it to be less overreactive and more responsive. So that way it can slow down, giving it a sense of space and time to consider things before it makes a decision that might not be in alignment with what it actually wants long term. So it's going to prevent, to a certain extent, when it's healthy, those knee-jerk reactions or those knee-jerk decisions that sometimes land us in hot water. Not that anybody here has ever done that, right? Yeah, it's probably just a me thing. Yeah, okay. I see hands waving. And as we work with that, we're going to link that all into the sixth house to bring in its role, which brings in healthy discernment and awareness to make those, again, choice points happen in a way that brings in healthy service, that brings in service to the health of our body, our minds, our souls, to all of us. And as we work with that piece, invitation to breathe. And if you feel called to, you can place a hand in your gallbladder, which is just underneath that right side of your diaphragm. And well, actually the liver is hanging there, the gallbladder is just a little bit lower. And we're gonna tap here, invitation to breathe. And as we tap over the three brains, you are welcome to join us. It's not required. I'll take care of it on this end. And as we talked about yesterday, tapping over the head brain is the invitation to repair, to fix it. Tapping over the gut brain is the opportunity to embody that change. Tapping over the heart brain is the opportunity to save that, to save these new connections, these new ways of communication internally, these new ways of synchronizing, these new ways of being in balance long term. And you can tap those in any order. You're just seeing my personal bias come through. I like to end in the heart. There's something special about the heart. So as we bring that in for a nice soft landing for that part, I'm going to invite you just to take a few breaths here and let that part settle in. Okay, and then next up, we're going to do what's referred to as diaphragm to intestines. And this next part, you can actually take and do standalone anytime that you feel called to. It can actually be supportive as you're moving through some of these layers of emotion to resolve things. You might notice as we're working that you become more aware of your emotions. And that's actually a really good thing. It's healthy to feel these things. It's important to be aware of them. And for some of us who have been numbed out around them all, we might not be able to notice what they are or to notice how they feel or notice where they are in our body and mind with greater specificity. So this is an opportunity to support you in becoming aware of them. And if that's a little too much, that awareness of where things are and how that is for you in these moments, diaphragm to intestines can be one of those supportive measures. Diaphragms are a center for emotional processing and control. And our intestines let go of all the stuff that we just don't need to hang on to anymore. So as we do this one, I'm going to sweep my hand from my diaphragm down to my intestines. And just so you have that on camera. And we're going to tap this part out here all on its invitation to again breathe. And know that if you feel the call for this, if it's too much to move your hand, sweep your hand, and tap at the same time, you can separate out those movements, taking time to do just the sweeping and then the tapping. That feels like you're chewing gum and rubbing your head and walking and patting your tummy or something like that. That's just too much to do. Slow it down and separate out the movements. I've been doing them together for so long, it's actually harder for me to not do them together. I always have to think about that. So as we work with that, in addition to that, I should also mention if anybody wants additional support, Cortices is a really great technique too. And of course, you're welcome to reach out to me. Cortices, if you want an example of that, if it doesn't come up in a session, we'll see if it does. It's on my website. Scroll down to the bottom of any page and you'll see a link for Body Talk Courtesies and a 5-minute video on what that is and how to do it. Okay. And for anyone who may have been getting these vicariously through someone else, the webpage that I'm referring to, or the website that I'm referring to, my own, is vibranttransformation.com. All right, loves. We're heading now into the liver. And for whatever reason, I'm seeing the liver, the very like top portion that hangs out just underneath that diaphragm and crosses most of the right side of our body into slightly even into the left side there, as being quite light and bright, it's like sunshine. But that's only the top inch or so, and everything below that looks like a shadow, looks like a black shadow slash void. And in the space between, there's a blending of that yellow and that black that looks almost kind of staticky, like things are brewing below the surface, so to speak. So it's got this energy of, you know, those frustrations, those irritations that you suppress, but your subconscious still knows they're there. And it feels like things are just not quite settled in the system. There's this general air of feeling disgruntled in some way, shape, or form. Things just aren't quite right, not settled. This is the energy of things brewing underneath the surface. And as we work with this, we're actually going to bring in water elements as well as hydration alike to bring more of a cooling sensation to this. It's almost as if there's excessive heat. And as we offer it that, the yellow and the black just become more distinct. So it's settled now. It's not necessarily brewing underneath the surface. That part's resolved, but there's more underneath that. There's the emotion of shame here. And shame is one of those combination emotions that I spoke to a little bit yesterday. And we're going to be exploring that a little bit more in the bonus session, session number 6 on Saturday evening. And shame is a different combination of different emotions for everybody. But the important part that we're looking at here is this idea that you had to internalize shame because you felt there was something that you did that was wrong, which actually wasn't your fault. This is going back a fair ways into early childhood. And it's internalized shame around your parents' anger, whether that was mom or dad or whoever the caretaker was that made a play that parental role for you. I am seeing it more on the male side of things. This is likely dad or whoever was in your life at that time that may have played a strong role model figure of paternal energy for you. And as we work with that layer of anger here, and the internalized shame that it was your fault that this anger was even present, there is this subtle piece of blame towards anger in general. That like anger shouldn't be here ever. We should eradicate it and do whatever I can to not have that be there. So I'll just take that on and I'll make myself wrong. So that way, hopefully dad or whoever that may have been calms down just a little bit more. And as we work with this pattern of internalized shame around anger, we're going to run another CG on it. It's actually going to run for the next 4 days until the end of this 5-day series, just in time for that integration call on the Saturday nights. And as we work with that, interestingly enough, I see that it's lifting a huge weight as that black shadow dissipates quite cleanly. And that weight gets lifted almost as if it was weighing on the gallbladder meridian, and as we lift it off, the entire gallbladder meridian has greater ease in finding its original shape, its home, its alignment. And to support that alignment, we're going to actually do a couple things. We're going to run a cellular repair on the gallbladder meridian. The meridian itself does not have cells, but we can think of that metaphorically as working at the smallest unit of the gallbladder meridian. And as we run that cellular repair through the gallbladder meridian, restoring its smallest unit back to its fullest potential of health, linking it again into the eighth house for this role in regeneration. I'm running a permissions. It's safe to live. It is safe to live. And a second related permissions. It's safe to start again. It's safe to start again. And as that begins to reorganize the entire gallbladder meridian, I see almost like through the chain of the gallbladder meridian, different periods of time throughout that early childhood period of your life that had similar patterns connected to it of internalizing shame, making yourself wrong, so that way you could control your environment and make it seemingly less violent or angry around you. And that might have been in a small, subtle way. It might have been in big ways. Everyone's going to have just a little bit of a different flavor of that experience from their own lives. And I see that almost imagining that it's like a string of Christmas lights. And each little like bulb is, in a good way, releasing. So it doesn't have to carry that same sort of weight and heaviness. And as soon as the bulbs themselves get like swapped out, the entire chain of Christmas lights whoosh, begins to pool at the feet as it releases. And then I actually see the natural healthy light of the gallbladder meridian shine through. And the color of the wood element that governs the liver and the gallbladder is how I'm actually seeing it. It's a shade of green. It's a beautiful green. I don't think I talked about the color of the water element, which works with that fear, kidney, bladder stuff yesterday, but it was blue. And as we work with the healthy green energy, the healthy green lights, it's connecting into now the heart chakra, which is also green and also has a light quality to it as it brings in harmony and balance. And as we connect this gallbladder meridian to your heart, to your harmony, to your balance, also working with its healthy role in relationships and partnerships, whether that's internally or externally, perhaps there's no difference. And then we're linking that into house number 6 again for a practical assessment and bringing in service to the health of all of us, bringing in awareness, discernment via the natural organ and meridian that runs with that 6th house, the small intestine. And interestingly enough, we're going to do one more round of diaphragm to intestines to clear out any bits of how these patterns have played a role in your choosing of your partner, your relationship, and your relationship dynamics, your partnership dynamics, whether that be in a committed relationship of a romantic nature or whether that be in a business partnership or any other thing that you would consider to be a relationship slash partnership. How those dynamics around making yourself wrong, to calm down the environment, played out in your life in other aspects, essentially, is what we're working with here. And as we work with that whole dynamic, we actually need to unhook a bundle of belief systems surrounding the heart. And the bundle of belief systems is, I must control, I must control. And underneath that, the belief system around, these other people don't seem to know what they're doing, so I'll just take care of it for them. I'll do better than they're doing. And the weight that that carries is not small, it's not small. As it comes off the perimeter of the heart, AKA, fancy word, the pericardium, the external lining of that heart, actually makes more room for that heart to expand, to grow. And as it does, that natural expansion project that the heart just is always interested in doing, I see it as almost like little strings of connective tissue just peeling back across the chest, across the portion of the liver meridian that governs this chest, and is maybe a little too active, almost like it's got a stranglehold on all things chest. So as this unhooks from that pericardium, that external heart layer, the liver meridian begins to slowly back off just a little bit. And as it does so, it not it doesn't just release around the heart area, it also opens up around the lungs. And then I just see the lungs energetically transform into like little wings. And then the wings, actually, the more of these layers peel back, just grow and they become even bigger. And as these wings of the heart seem to be here, I see a very gentle flapping, beating, pulsation of the wings in a way that your lungs actually come alive, potentially with even new vibration, new pulsation, new frequencies. And as the lungs get new movements through them in healthy ways, there's healthy movements. I see the lungs as doing their natural role of starting, they also support new beginnings of starting things new. And I see this as also setting the stage for the work that we're likely heading into tomorrow with grief energy as the lungs process grief. So these gentle flapping of the wings are just setting the stage for a easeful cultivation and release of what's to come tomorrow. As we free up this liver meridian even more, it's now going all the way out to the edges, the sides, where there's some very powerful acupuncture points. There's, in body talk, we would call it the pancreas reflex point. In Chinese medicine, spleen 21, which is actually on both sides in Chinese medicine. And then there's the heart one, deep within the armpits. This is also a classic area where we carry internalized shame, making ourselves wrong. And as we do so, the tendency is not small to then in turn cave in or roll the shoulders in somehow. Also really prevalent in our world, and women in particular seem to carry that pattern a little heavier. Men do different things in different ways. So if you're in a male body, don't worry, we're going to get to some pieces around that too. And as you may not be in a male body or identify as such, those aspects of, when I say the word woman, might be more appropriate to your internal yin, your feminine, from a Chinese medicine perspective. So just in case anybody is curious about how I organize that information, it's very much coming from that natural Chinese medicine place of yin and yang, feminine and masculine energy. And as we work with these particular points, spleen 21 and heart 1, linking any remaining patterns that are playing a role in all this other stuff around internalized shame that we're working with, to link into house number 12, again, for that release, that ending, that allowing, that surrender. Linking that into the liver itself, which is that 12th house organ, meridian, to process the toxicity portions of that all, as the liver does just that. And as the liver supports detoxifying some of these patterns, linking it into house number 10 again, this time specifically around its role in outward self-expression. What if you didn't have to express yourself from that place of internalized shame? How might you carry yourself? How might you hold yourself? How might you act? How might you express verbally and non-verbally alike? And then we're tapping this part out here, the invitation to breathe however the body mind may feel called to. Giving that another breath or two. And as that settles in, to integrate this, we're actually going to work with that cortices, so we get to see what that looks like here and now, into the liver, the gallbladder, as well as the element of wood that is associated with them both. And then we're linking that up to the sense of sight. And from the left eye, we're releasing the patterns, the tendencies around not necessarily looking at life as it is, but more so life as we expect it to be through that lens of internalized shame. And that might look like having to brace or prepare for what else is coming my way, what else might be wrong. And if we're stuck looking at what's wrong, we certainly aren't seeing what's working well. So as we release that pattern from the left eye, the right eye has more of a tendency, it looks like, to just turn away or not look. It's like, yeah, I'd rather not see that. Put my head in the sand. What's the bird that does that? Flamingo? Yeah. Whichever one that is escaping me at the moment. But that pattern of turning a blind eye, the pattern of turning a blind eye on the right side and the left side, expecting the anger or the onslaught of something that needs to be defended against. And as we release that, we're going to simultaneously balance the sphenoid bone. That's that master bone that hangs out and connects all of our skull bones to each other. And as it hangs out, that's a very interesting choice of words I use there. It has a tendency to get a little bit stuck and hang out in a position that might not actually be advantageous. So we're just going to release any adhesions that are within the sphenoid bone as it relates to carrying the heaviness of how it is you've been seeing the world. And as we release those adhesions through the sphenoid bone, I actually see the brainstem get a little bit lighter, and it can move upwards into its natural home as if the weight was pressing it and compressing it down to a slouching position. And as we allow that brainstem to return to its natural healthy alignment, it settles in, and I just hear the words, almost like tucking a little one into a cozy bed. Ah, I'm safe here. I'm safe here. And the world can actually seem like a much easier place to take in when our brainstem feels safe, when our reptilian brain feels safe. As the brainstem is one of those parts of that reptilian brain that's often interested in keeping us safe at all costs, but it often will do so by means that don't always work well for us in the long term. Again, it's survival energy. So as we allow the brainstem to feel safe in this way, settling down even more that reptilian brain, and then we're linking that right up to the amygdala complex to let it know, hey, we actually get to feel safe now. It gets to be a little easier to be here, to be at home within ourselves. And then we're linking that one more time into house number 12. And as I tap that out, I'll do the courtesies so you actually get to see what that's like. And you're welcome to follow along with me if it's new for you or if you'd like to do it. The hands, we're going to close our fingers, go to where the skull joins the spine. So we have our neck, and then we have our skull bumpies that you're going to feel. It's a technical word, skull bumpies. And then we're going to take a moment to breathe however the body mind feels called to, and tap over those three brains. And then after two breaths or so, honor your own timing. We're gonna move up a hand position. And as we squiggle on up, breathing and tapping again. Depending upon hand size, head size, it'll look a little different for everybody, but we're just gonna keep going until we cover the whole head all the way up to the eyebrows. And if you land with your hand like mine is, it's fine to tap right over top of it. That's fine. And as I get all the way to my eyebrows with this one, if I had ended here, for example, my last one, I still want to make sure I get all the way to the eyebrows, as it covers a really, really important part of our frontal cortex, prefrontal cortex, really important part of our head brain. Governs our empathy, compassion, connection to our higher self. And then we're going to turn our head to the side. I'm going to hold her hands just with our fingers horizontal, pointing at the wall behind us or the floor if we're lying down. Taking one hand off, does not matter which one. And then we're going to swap that out and do the other side. And done. That's what courtesy is, looks like. So you're welcome to do that daily, more often if you're feeling the pull for it, the call for it. And there's that video available if you'd like a refresher of any of that on that website anytime, vibranttransformation.com. As we bring this all in for a nice soft landing, I'll invite you to take a moment to, if you're already in a great place, savor that and be with it. If, however, things feel like they're dangling in some way, I'm going to invite you to place your attention where we began, whether that was externally or internally, that thing that you found that was pleasant. And whatever it is you found, taking a moment to drink that in again. And if for some reason that doesn't quite cut it in this moment, I'll invite you to do it again, scanning your environment up, down, all around, and letting your gaze land on anything that's pleasant or at the very least neutral. And I'm going to play one more song. And for those of us that have time, it's about a 7-minute song. I will invite you to hang out just as you are within this place, savoring and receiving. And in case anybody needs to go beforehand, I'll offer my thank you again. Thank you for being here. And thank you for being you. So grateful I got to spend this time with you in these ways today. And I look forward to our, remaining sessions. We've got 4 more. The next 3 days at 10 a.m. Mountain Time. And that last one on the Saturday is in the evening. It's at 6:30 in the evening. And you'll have the opportunity to find out even more of how we do these on a regular basis on our final call. Okay. So thank you and mwah, all the love. I enjoy this song greatly, so I hope you do too. It's called I Release Control by Alexa Sunshine Rose, and it called to me given all the work around control that we released around the heart there to share this one today with y'all.
I release control and surrender to the flow of love that will heal me. I release control and surrender to the flow. Heal me.
lose control and surrender to the flow of love that will heal me. I release control and surrender to the flow of love that will heal me. I release control and surrender to the flow of love that will heal me. I release control and surrender to the
I
press play again. I was so eager to hear it, I was going to do it a second round. Thank you again for being here. And thank you for sharing this work in whatever way it calls to you. How'd you get on the screen? How'd that even happen? One more time. Oh, sorry about that, Nicole. We had you pinned there for a second. You're back now, though. And as we work with in this style, you are welcome to use those supports as much as you like. And you're also welcome to reach out as much as you like as well. And if anybody needs anything additional one-on-one, feel free to stick around. I've got time and space to connect. If there is multiple people, I'll just put you in multiple breakout rooms so everyone's well taken care of. Okay, just need a little bit of patience to make the rounds for everyone. So on that note, I'm going to sign off, and I look forward to seeing you all when our paths cross again. And thank you to everyone who is sharing this on however they are, their social media platforms, their emails, Instagram, Facebook, wherever you feel called to, please do feel free to share that as much or as little as you like. Okay, everyone. Bye for now.